You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Ravens podcast. I am Jacob Troxell here again with Matthew Stevens. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bengals and Ravens matchup again. If you missed our crossover episode, though, go back yesterday, give that one a listen. We kind of went into some matchups, went in depth on a couple of those things. But again, today we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to get into around the AFC North, talk a little bit about the Steelers and Browns tie and how the division just kind of looks, even though it's still very early on in the season, plenty of football left. And we're also going to get into a little bit of a discussion on Thursday night football. Is it good? Is it bad? Who does it help? Who does it hurt? What are the positives and negatives of that? So we'll get into that a little bit later. But real quick, I want to mention our sponsors today, MyBookie, ZipRecruiter, and Sonos. So starting with the AFC North, Matthew, we saw a little bit of a weird game on Sunday with the Browns and the Steelers tying. What did you see in that matchup, Matthew? What surprised you? And I think really the focus here is the Steelers, because they're the team that's expected to win this division.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this about the Steelers. I think, you know, the Steelers fans that I was talking to ahead of that game were really concerned about the Browns coming in. Obviously, it's a Browns team that, you know, hasn't won games in quite a while. And then in addition to that, is all new talent. And really, a lot of them are fighting for jobs. They're fighting for job security next year, not necessarily playoffs this year. But they're coming in, and they want to try to make a huge impact. Meanwhile, the Steelers, without Le'Veon Bell at running back, obviously with his contract issue, he didn't play last week. Apparently, he hasn't talked to Coach Mike Tomlin over there in Pittsburgh either yet, so doesn't really sound like he's coming back anytime soon. So, you know, there was some fears that Pittsburgh was going to kind of fall apart in this one, and that seems to be exactly what happened. I mean, for one, there were six turnovers. I said that right, six turnovers. Ben Roethlisberger, three interceptions, as well as two fumbles. John Connor taking over for Le'Veon Bell had a fumble as well. You know, with the Steelers, I think we know what they're capable of offensively and defensively. They're a really good team. It's just they make some weird errors sometimes. They like to do, and Ravens fans know this just as well as anybody, they like to go ahead and give up the game for about three quarters, and then the last two drives come back and steal everyone's hope and dreams. Except for with six turnovers, it's really hard to do that even against the terrible Cleveland Browns. So, you know, Pittsburgh starts off with a tie. Cleveland starts off with a tie. A huge thing for Baltimore, given that Pittsburgh was really expected to be their top rival this year in the AFC North. That tie, a divisional tie and a conference tie, will absolutely matter come week 17 when teams are fighting for playoff spots. So a super talented team, but just, you know, they've really got to try to figure it out one way or another and stop making mistakes primarily.
Yeah. And it just makes everything annoying too, because then you got to count this weird tie in the standings.
Yeah.
And I don't need any extra math in the playoff formulas and everything when we get to week 17. So that's no fun for anyone. I mean, it was very surprising to see. I mean, even though the Browns kind of did this last year, week one, where they kept it close against the Steelers and had a chance to win the game. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was 15 for 40, and the Browns kind of should have not had any chance of winning this game, and then they should have won it in overtime. So it was just very, I guess it was an improvement for the Browns because they didn't lose. but, you know, just concerning for the Steelers because they've had these kinds of issues, and now this was supposed to be a win for them without Le'Veon Bell, and who knows how long they're going to have or not have, Le'Veon Bell. So I think most Steelers fans and mostly everyone were chalking this one up as a win. And if you can't beat the Browns, I mean, now I know James Conner had a good day, 31 carries for 135 yards, but man, I think that's still a big concern without him. And I was kind of surprised that we didn't see as much James Washington, the rookie wide receiver that they drafted. So, you know, kind of surprising. We didn't see very many wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, make an impact week one
no.
in the NFL. So just something to watch for if they can get him involved as a second round pick this year.
Yeah, I mean, a note for this game as well for the Steelers and Browns was obviously there were 6 turnovers by Pittsburgh. They also had 12 penalties. You know, so while they threw for 335 yards, I mean, Roethlisberger 23-41, 335 yards. Smith-Schuster had 119 yards. Antonio Brown had 93 and a touchdown. So they did a lot of really good things, but just they did Steelers football, which is often shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, so now I want to – I know this is, again, very far in advance, and we still have a lot of football left, but right now the Vegas odds have the Steelers still favored to win the division at an even odd, but the Ravens are right behind them there at 2-1. Should the Ravens be favored to win this division? And this obviously depends on a lot of things. What week, if at all, Le'Veon Bell comes back? And you know how James Conner is able to establish himself. Can you take your best guess for me how this is going to play out? And the Ravens returning all 11 stars on defense, maybe give a little bit of an edge there to people who might want to expect the Ravens to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this: if they're 2-1 odds, I mean, I would bet on them. I might not put a grand down on them or anything, but. I think it's not a terrible bet, everything considered. I mean, especially, like I mentioned before, you're talking about they're tied. So you have what is a tie in the division and a tie in the conference. Those are absolutely going to matter come week 17. And you know, while they didn't look great against the Cleveland Browns, I'll say this about the Browns, and we've kind of talked about them in the past. They're not a playoff team. I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying that. But they do have a lot of talent. On paper, and I'll go into that with Cincinnati as well. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win any games, but they are a really talented team. The thing I'll say about this with Pittsburgh, they're just like Baltimore in the fact that they occasionally drop a weird game here and there where you're wondering, how did you lose that? This probably is their game this year in which they tied against the Browns. It's the laughing stock of the NFL as of right now, but they'll come in and they'll continue to play good football. It's just the type of team they are. The big question is how much will this affect them down the line? And if Baltimore can continue being as good as they were in week one, I think they run away with this division. That's just, you know, as far as odd makers go, I get them maybe not going ahead and completely changing their odds after one game. But certainly Baltimore looks a lot more favorable now than they did, 2-3 weeks ago, I think.
So while we're kind of talking a little bit about betting, I want to go ahead and talk to you guys about my bookie. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week, but the truth is I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. So if you're feeling pretty good about that Ravens-Bengals over this Thursday night, go ahead and maybe take that to MyBookie. I also want to talk to you guys real quick about Locked On Fantasy. Fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And Locked On Fantasy Football has fantasy experts and amazing guests every day. So go ahead, find those guys, download so you know who to be playing. And by the way, I do think that Ravens-Bengals might hit the over. I believe it's 46, and I could see this one turning into a little bit of a shootout. But we'll talk about Thursday Night Football in a second. Matthew, I know you had a prediction for something specific in that game, and then after we hear from that, we're going to talk a little bit about Thursday Night Football in general. But I want to let you kind of take the reins on this one. You had a prediction for the game.
Yeah, and obviously in talking before we actually started recording this podcast, you know, we're just kind of talking about what do we think is going to happen in this game. I have a bold take in the fact that I think Baltimore runs away with this one. I think obviously there's the Week 17 last year in which Baltimore clearly has not forgotten that. And as much as, you know, it's been downplayed on, well, you just got to play week to week and, you know, last year was last year. It's been a question that has been asked to all the players and all the coaches repeatedly this offseason. And every single one of them, the unifying theme has been, we will never forget that game ever. Until the day we die, I'm going to remember losing that game. That's not something that you could just forget now that we're in another regular season. They're absolutely going to take it to the Cincinnati Bengals. And when you consider the fact that, you know, the offense is really relying on an offensive line that might not be fantastic, you know, in our crossover episode, obviously we were talking about the right tackle and how he was just absolutely abysmal. I don't really think the rest of the offensive line is that great either, having watched them over the years. But, you know, they went up against let's be honest, a pretty dreadful defense in the Indianapolis Colts last week. So we don't really know what that offense can actually do. And even then, they didn't really necessarily beat up on a Colts team that just isn't very talented on defense. So I think Baltimore, if they come in and they play the way that they played last week and they play hard football and they're able to go ahead and take some shots down the field, I think they absolutely run away with this game. And then it's just like what happened on Sunday, and they're going to force Andy Dalton, in order to go ahead and try to keep up with the game, they're going to force him to throw and they're going to harass him all game. And when Andy Dalton's under pressure, he sucks, if I'm being honest. So I'm predicting a plus 20 win on this one, a margin of victory of 20 plus points, in which is just borderline kind of blowout, especially for a divisional game in the AFC North. That's about as blowout as it gets for the AFC North.
That is definitely hitting the over. If we're into Ravens winning by 20 wins, go take that right now. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll say this much. I think the Ravens winning by 20 is more likely than the Bengals winning by 20, for sure. I think if the Bengals win, it's going to be a case where they maybe are able to capitalize on a turnover or something. Maybe they put pressure on Flacco early on and kind of get the offense uncomfortable. And again, though, we talked about this a little bit, but the Ravens starters are well rested, and because they won that big game against the Bills so you know, overwhelmingly, they were able to rest their starters in the second half. And another thing we talked about with Lamar Jackson and the offense is how it felt like maybe they were forcing him into action a little bit. I think part of the game plan might have also been to showcase both Snead, Brown, and Crabtree all in an even amount, so that teams would also have to game plan for each of those guys equally. I mean, you know, whatever works that gets you a win at the end of the day, I'm sure that's what the Ravens are going to do. But I don't think that it was a bad thing for the Ravens that all these guys were so evenly involved in the offense, because, I mean, like you said, we have to keep in mind Lamar Jackson is going to line up maybe in the slot at running back, at quarterback. You have no idea where he's going to be in the offense, but you also have these other guys involved. And the fact that they came out and used those guys, all four of those guys, in different ways, could really cause some confusion on the Bengals side of things on defense.
Yeah, you know, I actually wrote an article exactly about this in terms of, you know, Preston Brown over the Cincinnati Bengals linebacker actually came out and said, you know, hey, we want to limit Lamar Jackson early in that game, so that way Baltimore stops using the two QB sets. That's playing perfectly into what Baltimore undoubtedly wants to do, which is please game plan against Jackson. Please spend your 3 days of study time and implementing game plans in figuring out how to stop Lamar Jackson. If you take 45 minutes doing it. That's 45 minutes that you haven't spent worrying about the rest of this offense. And, you know, as we saw Sunday against the Bills, Lamar Jackson really didn't do very much. It was the three new wide receivers. It was the tight ends. It was the passing game that really kind of came out there and took everyone's breath away in a large way. And unlike what we've seen with a lot of other offenses, you know, Cincinnati's very much in the same boat with this. Atlanta is another one in which they forced the ball to a singular guy. I mean, A.J. Green had 8 targets. Julio Jones had 19 targets on last Thursday. When you do that, when you force the ball to a guy, well, what you're saying to a defense is you take that guy away. All of a sudden, the rest of this offense is hard to function. With Baltimore, who do you take away? Do you take away Michael Crabtree? Cool, I'll throw it to John Brown all day long. Double Michael Crabtree and don't put a safety on top of John Brown and see what happens. Okay, cool, you're going to take John Brown away. Fine, I'll take 10-yard dinks and dunks all the way down the field and then go ahead and push it in with the run. That's fine with me. Okay, fine, you want to go ahead and take away Michael Crabtree. You're going to use zone coverage maybe to try to go ahead and limit everybody, put a safety high. Fine, Willie Snead is perfect against zone coverage. It's his knack. It's what he does. Again, I'll dink and dunk you all day long and force you to go ahead and do that. Okay, fine. So you're going to go even further than that. Then I'll run it right up the middle and just beat you all game long until you decide to change your game plan. And at that point, then I can switch to somebody else. It's going to take a very talented team. And I think Cincinnati is a very talented defense, but it's going to take a very talented team with a very good defensive coordinator. And again, Cincinnati has a very good defensive coordinator in Terrell Austin, former secondary coach for Baltimore. But it's going to take a lot of things going right for another team in order to really shut down this offense in a way that we haven't actually really seen in Baltimore before. And a lot of that's going to be, can you get after Joe Flacco? Well, you know, again, you better hope that your guys can lock things down pretty quickly, because Joe Flacco was getting that ball out without too much issue on Sunday with an offensive line that was not exactly doing fantastic in pass blocking. So I'll say this. I think Cincinnati is a very good team. I think they've always been a good team in terms of their roster, but we've seen them win so few games over the years where that's just who they are. They're a supremely talented team that just can't win. I think this is another situation exactly like that, in which Baltimore just kind of dominates them for 60 minutes. And it's a pretty lopsided win once again this week.
Yeah, and I'll say this too about, you know, the different wide receivers and the matchup problems they create. I think if we see this wide receiving core struggle this year, I think it's going to have to be against a team that has the defensive backs that have the size to kind of outman these guys in single, man coverage. Because Crabtree's a bigger guy. I mean, he can create some matchup problems for sure, but John Brown is kind of smaller. If you can get a cornerback that can stick with him, they'll have a size advantage. And again, with Willie Snead, Snead's a pretty solid size for a wide receiver, but again, kind of in between Crabtree and Brown a little bit. I believe he's 5'11 or 6 foot. So, you know, I think maybe a team like the 49ers or the Rams, where they have some bigger kind of guys in the secondary that can match up with them would create a little bit of a problem, because the receiving core the Ravens have, if there's any weakness that we're really trying to pinpoint, it's that they don't all have a great size. You know, Hayden Hurst, when he comes back at 6'5", will definitely be able to help that. And the Ravens do have some formidable guys at tight end that can hold the fort down while he's not in the lineup. But that's the one kind of way I would look to try, and I don't even know if you can call it take advantage of, but one way I would try to exploit a little bit of what the Ravens lack on offense. And some of the touchdowns we saw, like the John Brown one in the end zone, they weren't really in the red zone. That's another thing. I know we talked about the red zone offense a little bit, but yeah, I want to see this offense in the red zone, not only with Lamar Jackson and how they use him in those packages, but some of the receivers and some of the sets that they bring out. You know, how are they going to throw to someone other than Crabtree? Is John Brown going to run a similar route? Is Crabtree going to run anything other than a fade? I mean, that's been successful for him, but what else are they going to use him to do in the red zone? So that's another kind of interesting thing to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens in week one against the Buffalo Bills, they were 6-6, or 6 out of 6 in the red zone, so 100%, and then they were 5 out of 5 in goal to go situations, so again, another 100%. So, you know, they were phenomenal last week in exactly that. It's just a matter of can they continue that type of success. We've seen them last year. They were able to move the ball relatively decently between the 20s. It was just they couldn't really get into the end zone once they got there. Hopefully that's a trend that continues. And if that's the case, again, I'll say it, they beat the Bengals by more than 20.
Yeah, well, you know what comes in between the Ravens game this week and the rest of the Sunday NFL games is college football. And the Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. We got the Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we already have already locked on to the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So again, go check those guys out and hear about some of the future Ravens before we do, and then you can tell us about them if we don't already know them. I'm sure you follow college football though, so you're in the loop, Matthew. We're both kind of there.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the moneymaker on the college games. You're using my bookie to, you know, get a little bit ahead. I gotta talk to you Saturday mornings and get something figured out. So before Saturday, we have Thursday Night Football. I know we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but the problem that some people see with Thursday Night Football, and we'll just kind of dive right into this, is that it's a short week. And this is not a debate that's anything new to what we've talked about since the league started having Thursday night games every week a couple years back. So first off, I'll say as a football fan in general, I love having Thursday night games, especially when a large portion of my Sunday is taken up working and, you know, kind of analyzing football and looking for different things. It's still watching football and it's still enjoyable, but it's just a little bit of a different environment. You don't get to see all the games. So I love Thursday Night Football in that respect, that it's just kind of a change of pace for myself. But for a lot of other people, and obviously the players too, there's a little bit of dislike, I guess would be a light way of putting it, for some of the players for Thursday night, because there's injury risk. The games that a lot of times, especially 2 years ago, the games were not very clean. Some of the games were sloppy and it just looked like teams didn't have enough time to implement a game plan. So Matthew, how do you see Thursday Night Football affecting teams? And do you think it's something that is good for the league or just kind of something it could do without?
So I'll section this off into two different things. I think it is fantastic for the league from a money-making standpoint. And as we've discussed before, in terms of the NFL maybe extending the regular season, they love money. But that being said, is when you're talking about the players, when you're talking about the product that's put on the field, it is demonstrably worse. And we saw that Thursday night, the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, two teams that are expected to be in the Super Bowl run. That was a terrible game. It was just bad. You know, Matt Ryan, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 57.4 rating. Nick Foles, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 50.7 rating. Not really a whole lot of stuff going on the ground for either team. It was just a boring, bad game. And on top of that, it was delayed, which, granted, not the NFL's fault, and I appreciate them maybe being a little bit more generous in terms of delaying the game for the weather with lightning strikes in the area. But yeah, the game started at, 9 o'clock? So you're talking about it's, nearly 1 by the time the game actually gets done. Who wants to sit up and watch a 12-18 game at 1 o'clock in the morning? Not a single person. I have to do it for my work, for job, for this. And I didn't want to be up watching it. It was just a bad game. I couldn't imagine being anywhere that isn't Atlanta or Philadelphia trying to watch that contest. And part of the issue is this. You're talking about their short weeks. So the Ravens this week, they have a grand total of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then one of those days is really just a game walkthrough. So it's without pads usually. It's a simply one half pace. You go ahead and just walk them through what the other team is doing from a scout perspective. So really, there's 2 days for coaches to implement a complete strategy to beat another NFL team. That's difficult if you're playing high school football, much less professional football. And what we see out of that is just bad games. You know, going back to last year a little bit, as we were kind of discussing here, you know, not too long ago, it was bad games. You know, the first week, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs completely blowing out the New England Patriots. Again, not really indicative of what the entire season was going to end up being. Week two, it's the Texans barely over the Bengals. Again, in a game that no one really wants to watch. Week three, it's the Rams barely over the 49ers. Again, not indicative of either one of those teams in terms of what they can actually do. And
although that was a good game, that Rams 49ers game, that was a crazy shootout.
It was a great game, but that's kind of my point to a certain degree of it's such a crapshoot from week to week. The 49ers should not have been able to keep up with the Los Angeles Rams by any standard, if we're being honest. The fact that they were is completely indicative of teams don't have enough time to really fully prepare. It's just thrown out there. And it had everyone looked at that game beforehand, no one was really interested in watching that game. They expected it to be a complete stomping of the 49ers. So from a product on the field point, it's just awful. They're not good games usually. And then from a health standpoint, you're talking about, I mean, this week is a perfect example. Kenneth Dixon and Maurice Kennedy are both coming off of injuries from last week. If they maybe had an entire week, maybe we see them come back into this game if it was a Sunday game. But they're not, and they're probably not going to be in the game. So you're talking about guys who aren't as healthy, or in turn, you're going to end up talking about guys who are maybe not 100%. Maybe they're at 80%, 85%, but it's a game as you get later onto the season that is important for a playoff run. Well, I need to shove a guy in there on 3 days rest. That equals overuse injuries, that equals you know, just injuries all around, concussions being a huge thing. So for a league that is trying its hardest to go, hey, we care about these players, they're our family, and we want to make sure they're okay for the long term, to then go, hey, get out there on 3 days rest, I don't care how you feel, get playing because we need to make money, is the polar opposite of every message they're trying to send. So I just, Thursday football sucks almost all the time. I'm not excited for it this week with it being the Ravens. I don't think it's good football. And I'd be more for Sunday, Monday games if that's the case. It's still maybe a short week in terms of a Sunday to a Monday. But it's a lot less of a short week than if it's a Thursday night game. And who wants to get up on Friday after being up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching football, trying to get to work after like 4 hours of rest? That's not happening.
Here's what I would, this is when I would want to see the NFL come in. And first off, I think they should expand the active rosters or just the rosters in general, a couple spots. But here's where I would like the NFL to come in and say, look, you're able to, you know, instead of the typical 46, you're able to dress all 53 guys on your roster coming into this Thursday game because you just played Sunday. Thursday, you get all your players at your disposal. Or maybe even, you know, add a roster spot or something. You know, I would like to see solutions kind of thrown out to this and to where, you know, we're not – because, again, like I said, that's been everything you've said from a game planning perspective and everything, all fair points. And it seems like the players have fought this a little bit. Not all the players have, a good amount of them have. They don't like the short work weeks, but I want to see solutions or some kind of bargaining go on here where we can figure this out. And also, I want people to keep in mind that this is not meaning any less money for the players. They're also getting hundreds of thousands of extra dollars playing on Thursday night because they get part of the revenue share there. So when these players say they don't want to play on Thursday nights, you know, they're also forfeiting hundreds of thousands of dollars in each of their game checks if they don't want to play on Thursday nights anymore. So that's it's just something else to keep in mind. I've also heard some people discuss the possibility of adding a second bye week in kind of sandwiched between Thursday night games. So if your team plays on a Thursday, you get that week off beforehand to just kind of give you, because that way you get 10 days before and after each game, which I think, first off, makes sense for the Thursday night team. And second, that makes you have an 18-game regular season without even having to add more games. So you just kind of space things out and you get more football without having to add any football. So I think that seems like the most logical solution from not only a revenue, but a player safety standpoint in terms of how to fix Thursday night. And going back to the Falcons and Eagles, I think that was a little bit of a, first off, there's no excuse for them week one to play that poorly because they had all off season going in. So it's not like they were on a short week. And also that game was a little bit like the, actually it was exactly like the playoff game they played in last year. So the result seemed like it held true to where these teams are actually at. And the Falcons still are struggling with red zone problems, and they couldn't each game ended on an out of bounds pass to Julio Jones where he caught the ball and couldn't land a bounce. So they have to work on that. But aside from that, I just want to see some solutions kind of discussed towards how they can tweak it a little bit, because all of those points you made are fair, but also I think it's still from both a revenue standpoint and a fan perspective to have extra football on Thursdays. And one more thing I want to mention too, and I kind of want to ask you this, and I also want people listening to kind of maybe keep this in mind. And if you have any thoughts on this, let us know on Twitter at Locked On Ravens. If you watch the Ravens on Thursday night, and let's say you don't work in the industry, you're just a Ravens fan, are you less likely to watch Sunday afternoon football? Because that was part of the discussion with the whole ratings dip. And I think there were a few other things that kind of were involved in that. But when Thursday night came out, people were talking about, oh, well, the league is a little bit diluting itself. Do you feel like that's kind of where some fans are at, where you watch on Thursday and then you don't go back on Sunday? Because I think Sunday 1 o'clock games make people watch each of the next two time slots if your team plays at 1 o'clock. But then if they play Thursday, then you're kind of, then maybe you have, you look at Sunday, it's like, hey, I got a free day, I'm just gonna do whatever else and take this opportunity to not watch football.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great point. I think that's certainly the case. You know, football is a very social thing. I mean, a lot of the times fans are getting together with their friends to watch it at a friend's house or watch it at the bar. So in turn, when you have a game on Thursday night, you know, a lot of people in Baltimore aren't going to, on Sunday, sit down and then watch two games that are, especially early in the season, meaningless to them. You know, nobody really cares what the Steelers and Chiefs game is going to look like around here because, well, it doesn't matter right now. Now, later in the season, yeah, certainly there's playoff expectations and insinuations that go with that stuff. So, yeah, that will then matter. But week two, no one's going to care. No one's going to watch those games or whatever other game is there, you know, the Colts Redskins or something like that. It's not as likely. You know, if it weren't for my job, I probably wouldn't as well. I'd catch the highlights later. I'd go ahead and visit maybe some of the other teams, you know, as a fan online or listen to a podcast here or there. But I'm not watching the game themselves. And you know, that would be a huge loss for the NFL in terms of revenue. I also really quickly want to go back in terms of, you know, you mentioned that the week one Thursday night game, the Eagles and the Falcons, that they didn't really have, they had all off season to kind of prepare for one another. What I'll say is this, is they had just gotten off of having to trim down their roster just a few days beforehand. So their entire thought process is not on necessarily week one. It is on making their best 53-man roster and then suddenly having to then turn around and then play another team who is still trying to figure out their best 53-man roster. And you know, as we saw every offseason and in this offseason as well, there's a lot of players that all of a sudden get cut, maybe surprising cuts there at the deadline. So really, you don't know entirely who you're playing until the final 53-man roster is set, because a lot of those jobs will kind of be a part of your game plan there at the end. So, I'll say it in terms of that. I'll also say it in terms of this, where you mentioned the players, you know, being more willing to forfeit the extra cash. I'll say this, you know, we get paid for our jobs. If your boss came to you and said, all right, Jacob, for $5, I'm going to hit you in the hand with a hammer. And you're going to go, no, that's ridiculous. That's kind of the equivalent of what the NFL players make by playing a Thursday night game. And of course, you're going to go to your boss and go, no, there's no way. $5? Maybe if we're talking like an extra $500, yeah, hit me in the head, in the hand with a hammer. Sure, I'll take the extra cash for the risk that goes along with it. But for the relative pittance that you're going to make compared to your normal paycheck, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for you to risk your body for that. For a lot of NFL players, I it's the same exact type of thing, where if there was a much larger benefit for them, and certainly the NFL thinks it's worthy enough for them to put those guys out in the field and do a whole game day and do multiple pregame shows and have their own NFL network set to it, it's certainly making the NFL enough money. I don't think the players, and I won't speak for the players in this situation, but I don't think they feel that they get the percentage that obviously they're putting a risk into this. Roger Goodell isn't on a field.
Oh, I think that's not even, yeah, I agree 100%. And I think they want more of the revenue, not even taking into effect Thursday night. I think you look at some of these NBA contracts, and I know these NFL players are looking at the contracts that some of the NFL players, I mean, NBA players have. I think at one point when Pistons point guard Reggie Jackson signed a four-year contract extension, he was getting paid the same amount that Dez Bryant was, or it was like an equal amount. I'll have to go back and check that and maybe put that out on Twitter for us at some point. But now, of course, Dez not still looking for a team. By the way, he's got a burner account. Did you see that? He's got a burner account now. But
that's Dez, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I think it's definitely something that's going to be a large discussion when we come to the next CBA, is how all that sorts out itself. One last thing I wanted to mention too is, because I asked Trent Williams about this last year, because I thought, you know, when I was covering the Redskins, I thought he would be a good person to ask about this, because he's a guy who is a left tackle. He's facing some of the best pass rushers in the league every week, and he's one of the best at what he does. And he was playing hurt for a large portion of last year, and the Redskins had a week 5 bye. Not only did they have a stretch towards the end of the season where they played 2 Thursday night games in a row, but that included a Sunday game. So they really had 3 games in like a week and a half, essentially. And he said, it's probably one of the hardest things that anybody on this team is ever going to have to do. And I think that's fair. And we talked a little bit about, you know, possible solutions to that. But I think there's definitely some discussions that will be had amongst locker rooms about how they want to kind of get that sorted out. And as far as that goes, though, I'll tell you what, man, for an extra couple $100,000, I'd play an NFL game on Sunday and a Thursday. I don't know if I'm going to get through the whole game. I'm probably breaking an arm or something. But man, I might break an arm or two for $500,000. That doesn't sound too bad. That'll pay for the you know, the medical bills and everything else. So I don't know. You know, maybe we'll see.
Let me point to also next week. You know, the week 3, the Thursday night game is the Jets versus the Browns. Please, anyone who's listening to this, raise your hand right now if you're super interested in watching that.
Bring it on.
A game that will have absolutely no playoff implications to with Tyrod Taylor versus Sam Darnold. Yeah, I was super excited.
Oh, no. Give me Baker's debut in that versus him, man. That would be electric.
Right? Like, it's going to be electric for the two teams that are maybe watching it that are excited and think they still have a chance to go ahead and win anything. But
sign me up, man. I'm in. Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll throw this up. We'll throw this poll up on Twitter maybe next Wednesday or Thursday. How pumped are you for the Browns Jets? I'm hoping we get over 50% leaning my way. We'll see how it goes.
Can you just picture the ad for that, though? I mean, we're going to see plenty of it on Thursday night as they preview next Thursday's game. But, you know, what are they going to say? Like, two teams with a combined record of not very good. So hopefully this is the year that one of them turns it around. Maybe Josh Gordon. He's not suspended yet. There's Tyrod Taylor, the most timid quarterback in the league. It's like I can't sell it at all. There's nothing exciting about that game.
Who is gonna stink less? Maybe that's the best way. Exactly. And I tell you what, I haven't even seen the ad yet. I'm ready. Bring it on, man. Thursday night.
I'll hold you to that. I'll make sure that when we record this, we give you plenty of time to watch that game, so we can talk about it on Friday.
Please, I gotta clear my schedule. Get it. You know, I'm like LeBron calling for the clear out. Get me going. I think that wraps up the show. If you got some opinions on Thursday Night Football, let us know. If you got opinions on the AFC North, who you think's winning that division, and if you got any predictions for that Bengals-Ravens Thursday night game, that is sure to be a great one because both teams had 3 days to game plan. Right, Matthew?
Absolutely. Super excited. Both teams are going to be completely prepared.
I'm probably not going to miss a Thursday night game all year.
I don't think sorry.
If I broke my arms and I don't know.
If you did, that's the show. It's the Browns and the Jets.
Yeah, pretty well, almost. But that's the show. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and let us know what you think about the game on Thursday. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, guys.